coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk. Georgetown football head coach Rob Scarlatta talks about his Hoyas program and upcoming opponents. Saucon Valley talks about last week's victory over its rivals and its chances of repeating as league champs. Plus thoughts on Major League Baseball's playoff races, the latest Sports Talk football poll results, and some local athletes in the spotlight. These issues and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Brought to you by the Vinart Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura, Honda, Hyundai dealers.
Good evening and welcome, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. This is RCN Sports Talk. We have some great guests lined up on tonight's program. We'll introduce our in-studio guests coming up in just a few minutes. But first, we'll go to the phone lines. Leading off the program, our pleasure to have Rob Scarlatta, the head coach of the Georgetown football team, on the line with us. Coach Scarlatta, thanks for joining us on RCN Sports Talk tonight.
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Rob, you've been a part of that Georgetown program for over 20 years as a player, running back, a coach, a coordinator, and now the head coach. Before I talk to you about this year's team, maybe you could give a little insights about what makes Georgetown special for you and what has brought you back to that program year after year.
Yeah, I think we get a great chance to work with great student athletes here. You know, we talk a lot about what our kids do while they're on the Hilltop, but I've had 20 years experience with guys that have gone out in the world and are involved with everything from careers with law and politics and medicine to just great people in the community. So for me, the place is really about the people, and that's what keeps me coming back year after year.
Well, that's great to hear. You had a lot of seniors on last year's team, especially on the defensive side, and you were ranked near or at the top in a lot of defensive categories in the Patriot League last year that were all lost to graduation. Can you give a little insight about how tough it's been to replace some of those guys and how you work in the chemistry and work everyone together replacing some of those people into this year's team?
Sure. You know, we lost Alec May and Nick Alfieri, who were two great players here over a four-year career. They played a lot of football for us. And, you know, I think Coach Thompson, our defensive coordinator, did a really good job last year of developing some depth, even with having those good players that were our top-line guys and seniors, both senior captains on defense. You know, Matt Satchel was among the leaders in the league last year in tackles, and he played alongside of Nick Alfieri. And then our two defensive ends, in my opinion, are two of the better in the conference, and Hunter Kislik and Phil Novacki. So, yeah. You know, you never really replace those guys. You just hope that the guys that are playing next to them have taken note to their work ethic, and hopefully will continue to play well for us this season.
Very good. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, of course, you have senior quarterback Kyle Nolan, who's been a go-to guy, and several seniors back at wide receiver and running back. But you also have a lot of young talent that are underclassmen that are exciting to watch. How has that been going, trying to mix in the elder statesmen and the seniors with some of those up-and-coming players?
You know, when the kids get here for the first day of camp, we tell them that there really aren't any classes. They're all Hoya football players, and you know, it's like any other Division I program. It's production-based, and the best player is going to play. But, you know, I think we have great senior leadership on the offensive side. You know, Kevin Liddy is a captain, as well as our number 35, Joel Campella. And I think our older kids have done a great job of welcoming in the new talent. And they really started to mix together some of the kids on the offensive line as well as in the backfield and you know, some of our wide receivers. You know, Brandon Williams has done a good job for us as a young player on the outside, mixing in with veterans like Jake DeSico, Harry Glore, and Justin Hill. So that's just one of the examples of the young guys getting integrated into our wide receiver position.
Now, in your first three games, there's been a lot of scoring early. In the Marist game, you got on the board early. You're running the ball, passing the ball, and your defense scored a touchdown early. Your opponents got the jump on you in the other two games. Is there any reason you can kind of point to for all the early scoring in your games? And obviously, you want to try to jump out going forward in the next couple weeks. But how do you kind of go about trying to set the pace offensively like you did in the Marist game going forward?
You know, it's a great question. I think in the Marist game, we had better results. You know, in the Dartmouth game, we ran over 90 plays from scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, we threw the ball for over 300 yards. We didn't do a great job of running the football, but that was influenced by some penalties that we had up front on some good runs. So, you know, for me, it's trying to be a lot more consistent as we were in the Marist game with controlling the field position. Mm-hmm. You know, the entire first half of the Dartmouth game, we were on our own end of the field. We ran 50 plays in the first half and really didn't come out with much to show for it on the scoreboard. So hopefully we can win the field position battle this weekend with our special teams and get our offense within striking distance early in the game.
Rob Scarlotta, our special guest, head football coach at Georgetown University. You have two road games coming up. You're at Columbia, and then you go up to Harvard and play on a Friday night game. What are your observations about those two ball games coming up, and what are some of your keys to get back on the winning path against those two teams?
Well, they're both very well-coached teams. You know, Coach Bagnoli came over from Penn to Columbia, has great coordinators in Coach Ferrara and Coach Farragelli. So for us, in that game, you know, we're worried about just taking care of Georgetown. As you mentioned, getting off to a good start offensively. And, you know, if you look at our defense, statistically we played well. You know, we have some really good players on the defensive side, and Leo Loffrey and Eddie and Scott, who are doing a great job for us. So, you know, those two teams are going to be very well coached. They have good talent throughout, and they'll both be a challenge for us up in New York and in Boston the following week.
Yep. Now, looking a couple weeks ahead, you don't want to look too far down the line, but October 10th coming up is homecoming. You're hosting Lafayette in that ball game. What are some of your observations about the Patriot League so far and some of your opponents? And do you look ahead at how the Patriot League teams are doing now, or do you wait till you get closer to the Patriot League schedule before you start taking tabs on Lafayette and some of the other teams coming up?
Well, every coach will tell you they're just worried about the Saturday coming up, but I'd be lying to you if I told you I wasn't checking the scores. Yeah. You know, it's a really tight community within the league between the Ivy Patriot and some of the CAA coaches. So you're always on the lookout to see how people are doing, see who's healthy and who's not, and see what some of the common crossover matchups are for you. So, you know, right now we're really just concerned with getting up tomorrow, having a great run through, and getting prepared for a good Columbia team. And then we'll take care of homecoming when we get to it in a couple weeks.
Very good. Coach, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, for people that aren't familiar with the program, Ty Williams, of course, suffered a serious neck injury week one. I know there's been some news in the last couple hours, so could you give a little bit of an update on his condition and how tough it's been for you and your staff and for the players to carry on without him? And what's Ty's mindset been like over the last couple weeks?
Well, yeah, Ty's an incredible person. He's in a great mindset right now. I actually spoke with him this morning. Mm-hmm. He's down at the Shepherd Rehabilitation Center down in Atlanta, Georgia, and he's just started the first phase on his rehab. And, you know, we're looking forward to him working through this and having a full recovery. You know, our team and the issues that we've had or what we've gone through has just shown us how tight and supportive the Georgetown community is on the Hilltop and at large. And then, to be honest with you, the football community has been unbelievably supportive of our team and our players. So for all of that, we're really appreciative, especially to the people at St. Francis who did such a great job of going and visiting and taking care of Ty when he was out there in Altoona, which is a little bit away from where they are in Laredo. But, you know, we get updates from him every day, and I think he's doing well. He's in a good mindset, and, you know, we're looking forward to him getting through a full recovery.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and best of luck this weekend up in Columbia.
Thanks so much.
All right, our pleasure. Rob Scarlotta, the head coach at Georgetown University, our thanks to him for spending a few minutes and talking about his Hoyas program and some big ball games coming up, including their homecoming game against Lafayette coming up on October 10th in just a few weeks. All right, now we'll continue with the introductions and co-host of the program and the man who's solely responsible for every single road shut down within a 50-mile radius of the city of brotherly love for the next 3 days, Mr. Joseph Lindwood Craig.
Well,
Joe, thanks for just bottling everything up just because you decided to go to Philadelphia this
weekend. Well, I just thought that, you know, it was time we settled things down, and what better way than to close everything off and not let anybody in or out. So
you have to appreciate all this media attention you're going to be getting over the next few weeks.
That I'm going to be getting?
Sure.
Why would I be
getting? I heard your holiness is going to be going to Philadelphia, and that's how we all regard you, and, you know, you make us bow.
Right. No, it's a great thing, I think, for the area around Philadelphia, and to have the Pope here, and there's not a you know, there's not a finer man in the world, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I'm not Catholic, but I got to tell you, the man is he's a special person, and I think it's a wonderful thing for our area and for all of
Washington,
this area, everything,
New York.
This area from you know, within a 100-mile radius or so. I think it's great, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. All those people that are going to get a chance to see the Pope, I think it's great.
Very special week. I think 1979 was the last time a Pope visited.
Yes, yeah, so. Yeah.
All right, now we're going to be spending a lot of time talking high school football, but I have to ask you, Mr. Flip-Flopper, are you backing off your Eagles World, Super Bowl prediction that you made
record straight, because one of our people in the room here with us that's behind a camera made that statement. If you check the record, I will tell you my original
record. We show you the tape. You say we forged the tape.
No, you didn't show me any tape. I've never said that. I've said that they looked very good against the Packers, and I also said last week that you can't always go by that, and this is a prime example. I'll never judge a team by preseason again. It's embarrassing what I'm seeing out
there.
Worst
offensive performance you've seen last week?
Worst offensive performance I've seen probably in 20 or 30 years by anybody.
All right.
I don't think I've seen anybody, not in the pros.
We're going to talk a little more NFL football later in our program, and we'll also introduce our special guest in just a couple of minutes. Right now it is time for the trivia question, as we give you a chance to weigh in and participate in the trivia game right here. Which former quarterback has scored, not passed for, but actually scored the most touchdowns in his District 11 football career? So among all past District 11 high school football players, which quarterback has scored the most, not passed for, the most touchdowns in District 11?
In other words, he actually crossed the finish line.
He actually got across the line, rushed for the touchdown and got it. So that is the trivia question. We invite you to hop on board. Callers do get priority. And here's more information as we head to the break on what and how you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
This is the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. You can also call the show directly by dialing 1-844-234-4488 when the show airs live on Thursday evenings, starting at 7 p.m. on RCN TV. The number again is 1-844-234-4488 between 7 and 7:55 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk Podcast resumes in 60 seconds.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, and we're introducing our special guest here, coming off a very impressive win last week against Southern Lehigh. Members of the Saucon Valley football team, head coach Matt Evancho, and joined this segment by Mike Kane on the right and on the left, Christian Carvis. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
And I won't ask you about the Eagles because two of the three people up here are diehard Eagles fans, so we won't talk Eagles this segment. We'll save that for later. But, I want to talk about your performance this season and, in particular, last week. Southern Lehigh is a very good offensive team, and they were passing the ball first a quarter and a half. I think we had them for over 150 yards passing and close to 100 yards rushing. And then from the 5:31 mark until the final drive, you guys shut them down. Matt, did you say anything to your team? Is there any adjustments you made? Or what did you do to kind of transfer that game between a back-and-forth seesaw to just a lockdown, pretty much a shutout from then till the end of the game?
I think the first thing, our staff really preaches about not panicking. And we knew facing Southern Lehigh, they're a quality opponent, they're a quality program. We couldn't panic at any point in time. We just had to play the way we were being coached. We did switch up some things coverage-wise. Some of the players we asked to do some things a little bit beyond what they would be asked to do normally. And they responded well. And I think, just all around, I think all 11 on defense played outstanding, from that point on.
Yeah. And two of these guys were a big reason for that defense. And, Mike, I'll start with you because I thought Brad Wilson that day had a great article because all those offensive players were on display. And he said, the key might be Mike Kane's defense. And as the game wore on, you were putting hands up, you were batting passes down, you were really putting pressure on Southern Lehigh's passer. Could you talk about your mindset going into that game and what you did defensively?
Really, when I'm on defense, if they're about to pass the ball, if it's a passing situation, third and long or something, I'm going to be upfield getting to the quarterback. So, and if I don't get there, I'm getting my hands up trying to knock the ball down. Yeah. So that's my responsibility on defense. Yeah.
Christian, you were in the backfield a lot, too, as that game wore on. How many sacks and tackles for a loss did you – do you keep track of that as the game's going on?
Not really, no.
Yes, they do.
Seemed like in that second half you were just putting a lot of pressure on. But, yeah. That's a big rivalry for you. So what was it like? Did it seem like the adrenaline was kind of – ticking up as the game was going on? You started building that lead, that the defense was kind of feeding off that and building some momentum itself?
Yeah, once we started getting the ball rolling, I think we couldn't be stopped. The defense kind of shut them down completely, and we just smothered them. They didn't really have much to answer with that, but.
Has this year been different for you? Because last year, people were kind of looking at Northwestern and Southern Lehigh as the team to beat, and it seemed like you snuck up on people. This year, everyone said Saucon Valley's the team, Saucon Valley, everyone's out to get them. You had the target on it. Did you approach this year any different, or did you feel a little bit more pressure because you were the preseason favorite?
Yeah, I think as a group, we talked about that, and we didn't want to put pressure on the kids. Mm-hmm. Each week, I just try to get them to focus on the process of getting better. Mm-hmm. If we can keep our mindset there, keep our focus on that, the end result will take care of itself. And I think the kids have bought into that, and they're really seeing the results of that now. Especially after last week, we didn't come out real well against Northern Lehigh. Mm-hmm. They played an outstanding game, and then we had to get back to practice. I know Christian was one who put that out in the papers that we had to come ready to practice all last week, and they came and practiced outstanding. Yeah. And I think that the result of that, by focusing on the process, came out on the field.
And Northern Lehigh, I thought, was one of the teams to beat as well. So I looked at the paper, and I thought, wow, you really must have had an impressive performance. And then when I contacted you early in the next week, you said, I wasn't happy with a lot of things. So Christian and Mike, maybe you could talk about, it looked good on paper, but what were the things you weren't happy with in the Northern Lehigh game? And then how did you respond going into the Southern Lehigh game?
Well, Northern Lehigh, they're a very tough team. And I think we came out and we were soft that game. We weren't physical enough. And also, people weren't doing their responsibilities. They weren't where they needed to be when they needed to be there. So I think that was the problem, and we fixed that up before next week and hopefully for weeks to come.
Yeah. Was that something as seniors you kind of took upon yourself to make sure you hammered that point home?
Yeah, definitely. It's our responsibility as seniors and captains to make sure everybody's where they need to be. So,
what was it like, Bill? This program has been improving the last couple of years, too. As seniors, you're the preseason favorite. You had to kind of enjoy that after building the program as you've gotten older, and then now you enter your senior season as the preseason favorite.
Yeah, we've always been kind of used to it. We've all been together since we were young. We've all kind of, we're used to it by now. We knew we have the talent. We just had to put it all together and mm-hmm. make sure we keep our heads on straight.
Yeah, you build a culture, I think, Chris. You look at all the successful football programs around the Valley. They come in every year and they expect to do well. You build that, and it takes time to build that, and I think Saucon Valley is doing that. I think they've gotten to the point, you know, they've had a couple of years now, and now the success they're having. Kids, they play football, and they, you know, we're expected to do well, and I think that that's part of the mindset. But the thing people, I think, forget about is that, like, these guys, probably a lot of you played together when you were in third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade. I mean, you played midgets and all the way up through. I would think many of you did. So you get that nucleus comes up. And the key is, if next year when these guys are gone, if the incoming seniors take that responsibility, and sometimes that can even make up for not having all the talent in the world, just having a consistent program where the attitude is, we want to win. We've got to be successful. And I think that's what you guys are building.
And I think that's something, you know, we talked about year in and year out. Each group that comes in, you're not last year's group. You're a completely different group, and you need to set your own goals, and you need to, you know, create your own legacy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk a little offense with you guys, and certainly there was a lot of highlights in that Southern Lehigh game. What was kind of your mentality going into that game? Because, you know, I thought you guys had the advantage on the ground, and I kind of went in thinking, oh, you're going to slow the game down. But you kept the tempo going. Oh, but you were just ran the ball. It was like, you know, we're running the ball. We're not fooling you. Here, we're just going to ram it down your throat. And you had success doing that. So it, was that kind of the mindset going in?
You know, the mindset going in was to slow it down. Now, we didn't expect to get into a track meet like it was early on. That was not the game plan at all. Yeah. And I think both Coach Tolman will probably say the same thing. That's not what he wanted to have happen. But I think we wanted to, our game plan, and it is week in and week out, we want to be able to line up and just play smash mouth, old school football. Mm-hmm. But we do have the weapons to be able to spread the field vertically and horizontally.
Yeah.
So we have actually the best of both worlds there. And I think the kids, the mentality, you know, they have that mentality, and that's what's helping us be successful.
Because you looked very good in that kind of up-tempo style running the ball.
Well, and you have the ability to hit the edges and run with speed to the outside, and I think that's been – I noticed that with Southern Lehigh with that game. You were able to run that area outside the tackles between the tackles and the slot back. I mean, you hit that thing on the toss pitch, and your kids hit it quick. And I think that's one of the reasons you had such success. When I think smash mouth, I think, boy, inside the tackles. Mm-hmm. But you guys, you have the ability to run outside, too,
and
really effectively.
Yes, and we were trying to we knew going in they were going to try to take away the inside.
Yeah.
That's one part of our game that I think is successful for us. But, you know, we have a couple other facets of our game that we try to hit on. And I think that's what helped us pull out the win.
When you guys were playing in that game, did you kind of, as the game's going on and you're running up and down the field on offense and defense, was there some point saying, you know, this isn't the tempo we're playing. I know we're staying right with them, and then you took that three-point lead and then built on it in the second half. But as the first half was going on, were you kind of conscious of the tempo of the game?
Yeah, the game was really, to start off, crazy. Like, the I remember at the end of the first quarter, because of all the big plays, the first quarter felt like it took forever, and I looked over, and I thought it was halftime when the first quarter was over. So I'm like, wow, gotta go play another quarter right now.
Yeah, I'm going to ask the guys coming on later, too, about this, but you guys play two ways, too. How is that? Because, you know, especially, you know, you're playing that punishing defense and you're going out there. Is it kind of a change in mentality to have to kind of like flip a switch? Like, okay, you're going from going after the quarterback and tearing people apart to, all right, now I got to block and, you know, be conscious of where Zach and Evan and the guys behind me are. Do you have to change your mindset?
I mean, it's just football. We've all done it our whole lives. We haven't really – it's never really changed, you know. It's mm-hmm. kind of always been the same. We've all pretty much played both ways for our entire lives, so you have the football mentality going into the game. You don't really need to flip it from defense to offense. Mm-hmm. You're just kind of used to it.
Now, Mike, I've been hearing about your hands for 3 years, that you have really nice, soft hands, which is good for a tight end. But then you're out on defense and you're swatting balls down. So how do you have good hands on offense and then just start swatting at people in defense?
Yeah, I don't really know what's going on with that. I've dropped, like, three interceptions on defense this year already. So I guess I just don't know how to transfer my hands over to the defensive side of the ball.
As long as you're catching it on offense. So you had a nice catch the other night, we just saw. So, how you know, when you have these two-way players, and I imagine sometimes it would wear down, but is there kind of a mindset when you're thinking about, you know, do I rest a guy here, or, you know, some of your offensive players, you want to keep them out for defense? How do you kind of judge that as the game goes on?
I think we do have some rotational players and some depth that we do utilize during the games. Sometimes it doesn't present itself, the opportunity doesn't present itself as much as you would hope. And so we have to take that upon ourselves as coaches during the season, during the weeks leading up to games and preseason and the off season to really condition these guys. And we put them through a rigorous conditioning program throughout the summer, which helps them be able to be two-way players, because with a small school, we're going to need that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a factor. You know, when you, in the smaller schools, guys are used to going two ways. A lot of play. Where you run into trouble is when you get up against teams that are in your category, but they can throw a total different bunch of players out on offense as opposed to, because they wear you down after a period of time. I want to ask you guys, though, here's the question. Which do you really prefer playing, defense or offense? That, as a former defensive coordinator, I'd be curious to hear your answer.
We have Chris, a defensive guru who's a head coach here.
Yeah, so I know. Well, we're on the same, he and I are on the same wavelength with that. Chris, let me ask you first.
It's got to be defense, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? It's true. You like to hit rather than be hit.
Absolutely.
I know how it works. Yeah, how about you?
It's defense. There's no thinking that's involved. You just go out there and tackle the guy with the ball.
Yeah, there you go. It's true.
Are you done setting them up?
No, it makes me happy because that's what I coach. Okay.
Are you going to try to take credit for these guys? I want to see your connection.
Although they don't remember.
People always try to take credit for a team's success,
this,
no matter what school they're from.
They don't remember this, but I actually substitute taught at their school when they were in second grade. You guys don't remember it, but I remember.
I'm sure they remember.
I taught them
everything
said about
on football
the playground I knew.
While you were
right
substituting in second grade.
That's a long time ago.
We've got several emails coming in here. We have a phone call, though, first. Let's go to John from Effort, Pennsylvania. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good.
Are you really from Effort?
Yeah, I'm up in the Poconos there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Glad to. Thanks for checking in.
What do you got for us,
John? Take a shot at our trivia, I believe.
This is kind of more of a guess than anything. I had him as my gym teacher when he was in high school. Does it happen to be Jim Terwilliger?
That is a very good guess.
Great guess.
But incorrect.
Oh, that's all right. That's
good
all
right. Guy, but incorrect.
But good guess, though, John.
he's a good guy. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, John. So that trivia question's still out there. We're looking for a former quarterback that has scored, not passed for, but scored the most touchdowns in his District 11 high school football career. It is a former player. No active players involved. A couple quick emails we'll get off the bat. First of all, Richard, just want to take a moment to congratulate Matt Evancho and the Saucon Valley football team. Matt does a great job and really enjoying the play of all the players this year. So thank you, Richard, for that comment. We also have an email here from Mike. I don't know if this is a plan or not, but he says, could you talk about Carvis the Prophet? So, Christian, I don't know, do you study the Bible or are you talking about something that's going to happen here? I'm supposed to ask you, Mike wants to know, what is Carvis the Prophet?
Yeah, that's got to be Brad Wilson. I don't know. He kind of has a mind of his own when it comes to those articles.
Well, it's Mike. It's not Brad's email. I know Brad's email. So.
Yeah, I don't know. He's he gave me that nickname. I'm not really sure where that came from.
Why did he give you that nickname? What happened?
I guess it has to do with the whole practice situation. I said we needed to be better. We picked it up in practice, and then we looked great against Southern Lehigh. So I guess that's what makes me a prophet.
You called the shot, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Matt, would you agree he looks into the future? And
hey, if they can keep doing it, and
exactly.
I'm for it.
Yeah, right. As long as you keep doing it. All right. Our special guests right now, Matt Evancho, head coach, and Christian Carvis and Mike Kane. We're going to do thumbs up, thumbs down in just a second here. But I want to kind of get your thoughts on the rest of the season, because you have Caddy coming up, Northwestern, Penargyl, and Wilson, I believe, coming up over the next couple weeks. You had this big emotional game against – you had Northern Lehigh and then the rivalry against Saucon Valley. So how do you bounce back and make sure that there's no letdown this week? I know it's easy to say there's no letdown, but, you know, you've been through the ringer a little bit. So are you geared up to take on the Rough Riders this week?
Yeah, I think we are. We really just need to take it one week at a time and treat every team we play the same. Like, we're going to prepare for each team the same as Southern Lehigh or the New England Patriots or whoever we're playing. It doesn't matter. So,
yeah. Christian, same thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to keep our heads. We got to stay focused. We can't take anybody lightly. We can't just play down to our competition. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We just kind of got to come out the same.
I think last year, and Joe, I think you would agree with me, as the season went on, a lot of people kind of jumped on the Panthers bandwagon from outside of Hellertown. because you're kind of a gritty performance, you were kind of the underdog and off the radar at the beginning of the season. Did you kind of, especially going into that Becca game, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people were excited, yeah, it'll be great if Saucon Valley could come and upset Becca, because they were the team to beat in District 11 3A last year, and they're kind of the one of the teams everyone's looking at this year. Did you kind of catch the general fan base in the Lehigh Valley kind of jumping on the bandwagon last year?
I think we did, and you know, as I said earlier in the season, you know, it's great to have that, but at the same time, you also have to realize that there's those same people that they're jumping on the bandwagon. They're ready for you to trip up and to say, "I told you so." Yeah. So that's why we kind of just stick to ourselves. We have our own little spot down there in Hellertown where we don't really get much attention down there, which is great. We try to stay to ourselves and just focus on what we have to do to get better each week.
Yeah. What was that playoff run like for you guys? Because you got to play Southern Lehigh again and avenge a loss from earlier in the year, and then playing in the district championship game. What was that whole couple weeks like?
It was great, especially since, like you said, in the start of the season, we weren't really, I guess, projected to do much. And to make it to a district championship game was great. I mean, it didn't end like we'd hoped, but it was a great stepping stone to spring us into this season, mm-hmm. so we have some experience.
Christian, what was it like the last few weeks of last year's season?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to be this guy, but we weren't avenging a loss. We were kind of proving ourselves yet again, because we beat Southern Lehigh the first game, and then they ended up with the better district ranking. We had to play them at their place, and it kind of didn't really matter to us. We kind of just buckled down and did what we do and just kind of...
I think one of the things that was so special last year is, I think one of the reasons a lot of people in the Valley were pulling for you is, it was nice to see Saucon Valley having a really good year, and, you know, and you know, I'm a lot older than you guys, and I can remember back when Saucon Valley was kind of the whipping boy. I mean, they got hammered pretty regular until you started building the program, and I think that's been a great thing for Saucon Valley, and I know a lot of people who are watching games were starting to pull for you because, you know, we had been used to seeing Saucon Valley be in the middle of the pack, but nothing special for a long time. And I think that's why a lot of people got on board with it. Yeah. I think that was really the reason.
Yeah, now, you were co-Colonial League champs. And it seems like almost every year we have co-Colonial mm-hmm. League champs. You guys got to, like, play in a backyard or something. Yeah. I'm tired of these co-champs.
Well, that's because they don't play
everybody.
Well, they have
a couple of buys,
and you get...
You guys can get together on a Sunday afternoon and just, you know, play in the parking lot. See, every year we have co-champs and three
there
champs.
You go.
Does that kind of bug at you? Because I know, I won't say which school, there was a previous team that had done very well, and they lost one game. And they were co-champs despite beating that team. Did it kind of take away from last year, or was you know, how do you feel about co-champs, or would you like to own a championship, or are you just happy with the way it unfolded?
I mean, obviously it'd be great to be the only champ, so I guess that's what we're striving for this year. But I mean, winning a Colonial League championship is winning a Colonial League championship. It's what it is. So
plus, you got a shot in the playoff.
Yeah,
that helps.
Yeah. Well, you know what team I'm talking about. A few
years
ago.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Mike and Christian, for coming in. Before we let you go, though, we're going to play thumbs up, thumbs down, and ask you to identify someone in the sports world or a group of people, if you like, for doing something extraordinary, or if you want to single someone out like the Chip Kelly and the Eagles offense or anything like that for doing something unbelievably poor, the worst in the history of the Eagles, the worst offensive showing of all time. Joe, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to surprise you. Mine is a thumbs up and a thumb down. Yeah. It's to the baseball world for the loss of the great, great Yogi Berra. What a shame for people who my age who can remember watching Yogi Berra play. You young guys probably never saw him play, but what a great player. And it's a sad time for baseball, yet a great time to remember how great he was. Played in like, he was an all-star for 14 or 15 times.
One of the greatest catchers
of all time. All
right. Matt, who'd you like to give a thumbs up or thumbs down to?
I'd like to give a thumbs up to an opportunity that's presenting itself to a Lehigh Valley native, Devin Street with the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Getting an opportunity right now to showcase what he has and what the Lehigh Valley football program is about.
Yeah, and we're trying to get him on a future edition of Sports Talk, too. We were just talking to the Cowboys the other day. Mike, how about you?
I'm going to piggyback off that one and give a thumbs up to Saquon Barkley. I think he's second in the FBS in rushing right now. So he's having a great year.
Christian, how about you?
I got to give a thumbs down to the Eagles.
Very good. Smart kid there. Smart kid.
For letting me down a little bit, getting my expectations with the preseason, and then let me down for the first two games there. But
Never go with the preseason again. Never. I will never believe the preseason again.
Yeah. So keep flip-flopping, Joe. Keep flip-flopping. All right, real quick. I'm sorry. I got hit up for a lot of things this week. Several thumbs up to some former Lehigh Valley athletes now doing well out in the community. Former Parkland multi-sport athlete, current track athlete to South Carolina, Olivia Hassler, was selected as one of eight representatives of her student body to report to the federal government regarding critical academic, social, and financial issues facing young people. A great honor for her, and Olivia will be a fabulous representative to our federal government for that. Thumbs up to Coach Art Corrigan of Notre Dame of Green Pond, becoming the most winningest cross-country coach in the entire country. The second time in a month we've had that for a Lehigh Valley representative. Yep. And we did a story on him last year, which you can see on the RCN TV website through the archives or look it up on YouTube. And Amy Rogers will be here next week to talk about that. Last but not least, Tumay Anderson and Darren Hilliard, who's flying in tomorrow afternoon for an event this Saturday at Allen High School to benefit Kyle Kostick of Allentown, who's going through some tough times now. A very courageous story. More information on that is at lvbasketballrankings.com. 100% of the proceeds for Saturday's event at William Allen High School is going to benefit Kyle. And again, more information at lvbasketballrankings.com. All right, time for a Sports Talk timeout feature of the evening. We also have the RCN Sports Talk polls coming up. We'll see if Saucon Valley held on to their number one ranking in a moment. But first, after graduating 17 seniors from last year's team, the Salisbury boys soccer team is exceeding many people's expectations so far this fall. Sports Talk's Alyssa Scheckler stopped by the Falcons practice facility this week to talk with Salisbury about their strong 2015 campaign.
You know, this is a very good group. They're self-motivated. They very hardworking, aggressive, intense. So you know, they're pushing each other and they're pushing each other to get better.
Practices are a little different this year. We've been working more on passing, and it's pretty rigorous.
We're pinging the ball nicely, and that's translating to the game and a lot more goals.
I like what I've seen so far. You know, we had a group of 17 seniors who've graduated, and we've got a strong contingent of underclassmen, predominantly juniors that are strong technically and tactically.
We didn't expect much this year, but it's definitely going better than expected, and the hard part of our schedule is coming up.
Next 2 weeks, that's, you know, the teeth of our schedule. We've got Northwestern coming up in a league contest, and then they come back for a non-league contest with us. Southern Lehigh is always tough, and that's one of our rivals, and you can throw Saucon in there as well and Moravian Academy.
We have a match against Northwestern. They're a really good team, and I'm looking forward to the game.
My goal is definitely to win districts this year. I'd like to win leagues too and advance in the state competition.
The RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blogs at rcn.com/RCNTV, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds. We'll be right back. The RCN Sports Talk podcast continues in just seconds. Don't forget, you can send us your feedback and sports comments and questions at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Or speak with us directly on air during the program's live airing on RCN TV starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday evenings at 1-844-234-4488. Now, here's more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Matt Evancho and the Saucon Valley Panthers team. In just a moment, we're going to take a look at the poll results this week here at RCN and see if Saucon Valley held on. They've been our number one team the last couple weeks. See if they held on, because Becca played pretty well last week. So
yeah,
I don't know what our pollsters do.
I saw their game. I saw their game Saturday.
But I'd like to welcome in here for the second half of our program, Zach Thatcher on the right and Evan Culver on the left, the two speedsters, guys that run all over the place, both offensively and defensively. Thanks for coming in. Congratulations on a great season so far.
Thank you.
Do you guys ever get tired? I mean, Evan in particular, because you not only run the ball, but you had Ethan Price a lot, and you know, you were on some long routes, and then you had to come back on offense, and then they keep giving you the football. So, do you guys ever wear down out there?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think I was more tired from chasing him around all game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. When you're 17, you don't get tired. Are you kidding me?
Well, you see some of those routes, though. I mean, you were like 30, 40 yards downfield, and then you're on offense, and they're giving you the ball. I'm thinking, give the guy a break.
But he loves that.
I have fun.
As long as they give you that pick again, you don't care.
Yeah,
you're going to carry it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Zach, what's it like to run this offense?
To run the offense, it's fun. It's frustrating sometimes. But, you know, as long as we win, that's what I care about. Yeah. And, you know, I like that coach has confidence in me to give me the ball, to let me run the ball, to let me pass the ball. And I feel like over the past year, I've really, like, built a strong bond with my running backs, my wide receivers, my coaches. So I know that they trust me. And when I go out there, I'm not scared to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. I think also watching you play, Zach, I watched the Southern Lehigh game this past week. You give them a real balance with the fact that they can't, you know, if you defend Evan or you defend your receivers, but then you break loose for a long run, you know, and you really give them that three-pronged attack that makes all the difference in the world. As a defensive coach, if somebody's one-dimensional or even two-dimensional, you have a pretty good chance to maintain a hold on them. But when you got to face three weapons, that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Mm-hmm. I commend you on that. I thought you play really well.
Thank you.
Could you talk about how you kind of grown in this role? Because I think last year there was a quarterback competition early in the preseason, then you kind of stepped up, and you know, you were running the ball, and that got a lot of attention first, but then you know, you had to put the ball in the air to break up the defense and to keep them honest, and you did a nice job doing both. So how do you handling those roles?
I'm fine with it. I've been quarterback since as long as I can remember, so I'm kind of used to it. I'm used to the pressure. I feel like I can handle pressure more than anybody else. I don't know. I feel like I'm used to the pressure, so.
Mm-hmm. You get comfortable.
I get comfortable.
Yeah.
And I know that my teammates always have my back.
Yeah. Is that fun, having that offensive line in front of you, too, that they're going to open up some holes and you can just run over people? And you know, it's fun to go into a game plan and say, you know, we're going to try to run the ball and own the line of scrimmage. And then against a very good defensive line against Southern Lehigh, the guys up front opened up holes, and, you know, Zach and Evan, you were off through those holes and in for touchdowns.
Yeah, they definitely make it a lot easier for us to do our jobs. You know, we got big guys up there to open up holes for us, so it makes our lives a lot easier.
And what's the deal with Paolini's hair? I know he's a great blocker, great defender, but you know, he comes out, his hair's flowing around. On defense, it looks nice because he, you know, terrorizes people. He's running all over the field. On offense, what's that? What's that like running with all that hair in front of you?
I don't know. I've been telling him to cut it for a while. He didn't listen to me though.
All right, we have that trivia question still out there. Several guesses, all incorrect. Looking for a former quarterback that has scored, not passed for, but scored the most touchdowns in District 11 football history. A lot of good guesses. I think when people hear the answer, though, they'll say, oh, yeah, how can we forget about this guy? So that question is still out there. Right now, though, we're going to take a look at our RCN Sports Talk football poll. We'll look at the big schools first. Joe, I'll direct the question to you, but
sure.
Matt, if you want to weigh in. But no surprise at the top of the big school poll this week. Parkland continues to roll. All of our first place votes voted for the Trojans. Easton holds on to the number two spot. Freedom is third. Nazareth fourth with several impressive wins. They've looked good in all three of their games. Two wins so far. They defeated Liberty last week, so the Hurricanes fall into the number five spot. And, of course, more information on our polls available at the RCN-TV website. But, Joe, your thoughts on the big schools?
No big surprises there. I still think Easton is capable of giving Parkland all they can handle. I think that's going to be a great game to see this year. And Freedom, of course, they may be the surprise team in this group. I think they're capable of beating anybody on a given night. But the Liberty dropped to fifth, should have Nazareth beat them, and that's what you got. But I think those are really, of the big schools, that's the best five.
All right, Joe, do you want to give a drum roll here and see if the Panthers hold on? That's the drum roll.
Before you put it up there, it doesn't really matter. Because
don't belittle the polls.
No polls matter.
First you're ripping a certain college during the commercial break, now you're ripping our polls.
Well, what's nice is the best two or three teams are all going to see each other at the end of the year. So you'll really get an answer. Well, if they maintain their schedule.
What if someone beats the other team?
I said if they maintain what they're doing. They'll all be there, all three, four of them.
All right, way to set this up, Joe. Let's take a look. Let's see if the Panthers held on to the number one spot in the high school football poll. We'll reveal that here, and it looks like the Panthers get six first-place votes once again. So they will hold on to the number one spot. Any celebration by these guys? Becca is still number two, four first-place votes. Notre Dame with a win last week. They move into a tie with Central Catholic, and then Northern Lehigh hangs on at number five. Evan and Zach, I know you're just going to belittle this and say it's not a big deal, but seriously, right now you have 10 people in the Lehigh Valley who are well-respected football people. Well, nine plus Joe think that you guys are the best of the 2A and the 3A schools. In there. Does that mean anything to you? You can try to have it in your mind or then put it on the back burner when you get to practice?
I think I'm just trying to ignore it, I guess. I think the whole team is. We just try to not listen to that kind of stuff because those guys are the same ones telling us that we were going to come in last season. So.
Yeah. Well, it's some vindication. Zach, do you read the papers at all? Do you look at the poll? Do you peek at the polls before ignoring them?
Well, yeah, I do peek at the polls, and then I ignore it very quickly. But, you know, you have to remember that the team that's below us beat us by 42 points last season. Mm-hmm. So, until we amend that. Yeah. I think they deserve that number one spot.
Well, what makes the smaller school poll, I think, more interesting is that the teams are from two different leagues.
Yeah.
Where in the big school poll, they're all from the same league, and they basically sort each other out because they play each other. Where in the small school poll, you know, two of those teams won't see any of the Colonial League teams till playoff time. So that's what makes it more exciting. But it's harder to pick, too.
All right, before we go to a break, let's squeeze in another phone caller here. Liz from Bethlehem wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Liz, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Thank you. And I think the most quarterback that scored was Dan Persa from Liberty High School.
That is also a very good guess.
Good
another
answer.
New quarterback mentioned in addition to our emails, and that is also incorrect.
Oh, is it?
Very good guess, but incorrect.
When you hear the answer, you probably will say to yourself,
well, Persa's a good answer, too.
Yeah. Oh, Dan had a great career, but
and you know, Joe substituted one of his classes and taught him everything he knew about
football. Was it him?
Actually, his mom was a cheerleader, and when I was coaching, we knew her very well. Great people.
But it wasn't him.
Yeah, you'll hear the answer in a few minutes.
Or next week if we don't get a correct answer.
Wasn't Dan though?
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
You try to take credit for way too
much. What did
much
I do?
Sit in the back for 5 hours. I'll tell you what you did wrong. All right, one more caller before the break here. John from Regalsville. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Yes, John.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Yep. Oh, okay. Maybe he guessed it in person.
Yeah, he probably had the same name, yeah.
All right, so we still have that trivia question out there. Did you help this person, by the way, the answer? Did you help him in any way, shape, or form?
Who, Dan?
No, the correct answer.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. But I'll tell you, it's great. He was really good.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. We'll see if we can get any more callers to get the correct answer. You're welcome to email us as well. Again, no correct answer via the emails. And we'll also play a quick game of RCN Roundtable with these guys when we come back. Our special guest, Matt Evancho, and we'll be joined our next segment by Evan Culver and Zach Thatcher right after we take this timeout.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Matt Evancho and members of the Saucon Valley football team, still undefeated in the Colonial League, number one team in our Sports Talk poll once again this week. Zach Thatcher, the quarterback, and Evan Culver, outstanding running back, joining us again for this segment. We're going to play roundtable, but let's try to squeeze in one more caller and see if we can get a correct answer for tonight's trivia question. And we'll go to Allentown and talk to Brian. Brian, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Brian. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Did we stump you with this trivia question? What's your guess?
I think I'm going to guess Brendan Nosovich from Central Catholic.
Oh, very good.
Very good. You got it. You got it.
You got it. Did you look that up at all?
No, I did not. I had a feeling it was him when you said most touchdowns in a career.
59 touchdowns he scored.
That was going to be the bonus question. He would have gotten a car if he hadn't given it away.
Sorry about
friend
that.
Of mine, too. Good guy.
yeah,
he was.
Outstanding.
Outstanding athlete.
Yep. Okay, we'll call you after the show and let you know about your prize, all right?
Okay, thank
great job
you.
Nailing that,
thank
Brian.
You.
A lot you're of, welcome. Bye-bye.
A lot
bye-bye.
Of great quarterbacks mentioned here via email and through the phone lines.
Well, we've had a lot of great ones in the Valley in the last 15 years. We really have.
All right, can I continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, time for the roundtable part of the show. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local national topics that we put before our guests. They do not know what's coming prior to their arrival in our studio, but as always, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on our topic tonight. All right, topic number one. With the parameters of 20 and minus 20, what will be the Eagles' total rushing yards this Sunday against the New York Jets? Between 20 and minus 20. Coach Evancho, we'll start with you. What number would you go with?
I'm hoping it's over 20 since I have DeMarco Murray on my fantasy team.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's not playing anyway.
Yeah.
So
he's averaging, what, 0.6 yards a carry now.
Yeah. So not bad. Definite change from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, different offensive line in front of him.
Yeah, make excuses, Joe.
It's true.
Hopefully close to 20.
All right. Zach, how about you?
I just traded away DeMarco Murray. So. Hopefully below 20.
That hamstring injury scared you, didn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So well below 20. And Evan?
I mean, I'm not a big Eagles fan. I like DeMarco Murray, though. I don't know. I don't see him getting too much, to be honest with you.
Below 20, in other words, you say.
Yeah, definitely below 20.
Below 20. And Joe?
Over 20.
Oh, come on.
They'll get over 20. Yeah, this is the game when they're going to get 100 yards rushing.
And you go back to buying
your
Super Bowl tickets.
Nobody expects them to do well. Matches will run the ball, and they'll do well.
Topic number two is our yes-no question.
I'm curious
for this answer, especially with the players. Have you watched a Major League Baseball game this month? September used to be prime time. Even if your team wasn't in the playoffs, you know, you listen on your way home from school and then you watch a game and figure out the magic number and all that. I don't know, young people today, do they watch Major League Baseball? Have you watched a Major League Baseball game this month?
I mean, I follow my team on Twitter and stuff, but I don't really watch it on TV.
You haven't watched
it? Maybe like when it comes to the World Series or something, I watch it, but other than that.
Who is your team?
Mariners. I'm from Seattle.
Mariners? Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, I'm a big Seattle everything fan.
Well, don't worry about the World Series. You ain't going to watch it.
Zach, how about you? Have you watched a Major League game this month at all?
Yes, I have. I play baseball, so I don't have a favorite team. I have favorite players, but I do watch baseball.
I still watch. Oh, that's good. Matt, how about you? I know you're busy this time of year.
I haven't watched a baseball game, I think, all season. Wow. Unfortunately, just no time.
Yeah. And Joe?
3 weeks ago, I went and saw the Phillies play the Mets, so I watched the whole game. Yep.
Was that 3 weeks in the month of September? Never mind.
Yeah, it was in September.
Topic number three. Besides yourself, who's the hardest working program with the Saucon Valley sports program? And Zach, as you alluded to, you play multiple sports, so you see quite a bit of people. So we'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to two sports that I don't play. That's Kyle Riefenstahl.
Mm-hmm. Soccer player, right?
Soccer player and cross country
runner. That's
right.
Runner.
Yep. Double duty.
Dual sport, like myself. I run track and play baseball, but to dual sport, it's tough, so.
Yeah. Evan, how about you?
I'm going to have to go with Paige Jones. She's a beast on the soccer field.
Yeah, that soccer team's been really good last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were down there last year.
Yeah.
Matt, how about you? Tough question for you.
Yeah, I get to see the kids in the classroom, too, which is a benefit. But one female student I haven't had in the classroom on the girls' soccer team as well, Lauren Binn. Mm-hmm. Great scorer for the girls' team. She's a great leader out there for them as well.
Yep. Joe, it's not a Liberty question. I'm going to skip
you. Well, I don't know who works harder.
All right. We need a winner tonight. Redskins and Giants facing off tonight. The Redskins, who you were belittling and bemoaning and saying, don't even bother talking about them on this show 3 weeks ago, are now in first place and have a chance.
You're like
to go
delusional,
up.
You know that?
Oh, don't go back. Look on the show on VOD a couple weeks ago. Redskins, Giants tonight. Joe, we'll start with you. Who's going to win?
Redskins, Giants. Tonight, the Giants will win.
You're still bashing him. All right. Matt, how about you? Redskins or Giants tonight?
I'm going to pull for the Redskins. I think they might be able to maybe win that division. Pitiful division as it is right now.
I didn't say I was rooting for the Giants. You asked me who's going to win. I'm rooting for the Redskins, but the Giants probably win the game. Well, I'm sorry. It's true. They're playing at the Giants. Giants are 0-2. They got to win.
Just remember
They should be 2-0.
Who do you like tonight?
I got to go with the Giants. I like Odell Beckham, and I like Eli Manning.
All right. And Evan, how about you?
I'm going to go with the Giants. I like their receiving core. I think it's one of the best in football, to be honest. So.
He's right.
All right. Nice way to flip-flop. Say you're rooting for the Redskins. Well, Matt, thanks so much for joining us. Continued success to you, and we hope to keep watching you on RCN over the next. In fact, we're going to add a couple more games to your schedule coming up.
Thank you. Appreciate having
you. Our thanks to Coach Evancho, Christian Carvis, and Mike Kane, who joined us earlier, Evan Culver, and Zach Thatcher on the second half of our program. That'll be it for RCN Sports Talk tonight. My thanks to you for watching. For Joe, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.